This is a More Than Just Podcast production.
Hey there. So before George joins, I wanted to go over a couple of stories that I'm looking at. One story that just came out today is that Apple has announced the biggest upgrade in App Store pricing, adding 700 price points, including all the way down to 29 cents, which is, you know, just crazy. So yeah, everything, its pricing steps are now 10 cents, starting at 29 cents all the way up to $9.99, and then they jump to 50 cents, $1, $5, $10, and $100 increment. So going from 29 cents all the way up to $10, pretty much $9.99, and in 10 cent increments. That's quite a bit of points. And then all the way up to, once it gets to $100, jumps from $99.99, it's going to jump in $100 increment. So quite a bit of change in terms of what you can sell your apps for. Maybe that's good news for you. I don't know, but that's one. Another story is Stable Diffusion, which you may have heard about. It's a way of combining multiple images into one. You're seeing a lot of artwork out there being created. George and I do talk about that in a little bit, but Apple is going to be adding that into their Core ML framework. So Stable Diffusion came out around August 2022, and it's kind of taken the world by storm. You're seeing a lot of these portraits people are making themselves. My problem with it is that I question the sources of the art that's being used to model these things, whether the artists who created the original pieces are being given credit for their work or if it's just being picked up. But I'm sure Apple will find a nice compromise between that and the rest of the world as they normally do. Apple's also announced that karaoke is coming to Apple Music. You'll be able to sing along with their feature. And I assume that what they're going to do is the lyrics will bounce along as they normally do. And they maybe they'll use like a compression to get rid of the vocal tracks. Something you can do with you've been able to do for many years with computer programs to basically make it possible for you to sing along with your favorite tracks. Of course, I'll have links to the show notes and for all of these items. Apple has also announced that iCloud is going to have even more security than it does now. You know, iMessage has always sort of been secure, but now they're adding more security keys for your Apple IDs and advanced data protection for iCloud to provide users even more tools to protect most sensitive information, data, and communications. This is an Apple's press release today. Craig Federighi was interviewed today by a couple of journalists. He says here in the piece here from Apple that, you know, all about, you know, how they feel about security. Now, iMessage is going to have a contact key verification. So users who, journalists, human rights activists, members of government can now have extra, you know, protections for their accounts, that kind of stuff. So that'll be kind of cool. I mean, George does mention when I talk to him about being trolled in his own life, right? So it's not a trivial thing. Yeah, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before. I think I must have on the show in the past that I heard a security guy at a Apple security person talking about how encryption has always sort of been in the devices. You've been able to use like YubiKeys and card keys and that kind of stuff to protect your systems, your Mac systems anyway. And I mean, that's coming to more things, especially with iCloud.
No, no problem. Look at those old school hockey gloves. I love it.
Yeah. I forget where I got those from, but yeah, they're like the leather type, right? The old.
Yeah, totally.
They're from before my time, actually, believe it or not. But so hey, everybody, welcome to episode 354 of the More Than Just Code podcast. My name is Tim Mitchell. I am in Toronto, Ontario, and I'm joined once again by George Stromolopoulos in Los Angeles, California.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
354, is that what you said?
Yeah. This is...
Wow. That's a lot of episodes. We were on a long time ago together.
Well, I think you know, you were on Spotcast.
Yes, that's right.
We did the Game of Thrones finale episode.
Oh, that's right. Right.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. That was and fun. I think you were on... and we actually named it after something you said on the show, which I think is No Good Deed Goes Unrewarded or something like that.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Unpunished. That's the one.
That's true.
For sure.
Right on. Thanks for having me. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too. I just wanted to catch up, and this is probably one of the best ways to get a hold of you too as well, right? So anyway, just for those of you listening to the show, fans of the show, you may or may not know that I built an app way back when called the Strombo Show app, and it's basically was for George's radio program here in Canada on the CBC. And it's still going, so you can still download it. You know, we can still check it out. And I think I got a pencil sketch from your assistant, Amanda. Did you actually draw that pencil sketch of the original layout?
Yeah. I think I did. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So it's,
maybe one day we'll pick it back up again and get that going again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's still got a heartbeat a little bit, you know, a few people download it every now and then. So yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. Good.
That's
thing.
Awesome. But awesome.
One of the original apps on the original iPhone back in the day. So
that's right. It's simple and cool and functional.
Yep. Does one thing, plays radio. And records, right. If you want to record a request for George. Sure, yeah. But speaking of which, so you're not, I mean, the CBC show is kind of in hiatus, or it's not like being produced anymore, but you're now moved on to a new platform, and that's Apple Music, right?
That's right, yeah. I do a show for Apple Music Hits. It airs in 165 countries. I think it's 160 to 165 live, and then there are a couple others that don't air Apple Music live, but you can get the shows on demand. So I do a show Monday to Friday. It starts in about an hour.
Really?
2 hours, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Pacific.
So do you actually record that live? You're actually on the air kind of thing?
There are a lot of times where the show is a taped episode. I'll tape it, but it's at least half the time, if not more, I'm in the studio at Culver City and at the Apple Music headquarters doing the show.
Cool. And so people can interact with you and...
Yeah, I live stream the show on TikTok and on Instagram live during it for at least the first half of the show. I'll live stream it. And then, I let people have a behind the scenes look at what we're doing. You know me, I'm a pretty... I'm an energetic host, and I love music so much that I get really into the moment. So I like having the camera on so people can kind of see what I'm doing. But it also forces me to remain engaged, right? Where sometimes in radio, you can do a show and then it gets a little quieter in between songs and when you're playing songs. But with live stream, I don't take a second off. And so it keeps me moving at that full speed, which I really like.
Nice. And normally we do the how do people get a hold of you at the end, but I mean let's give a shout out to your Instagram, TikTok handle.
Thank you. Yes, Strombo, Strombo. That's all you got to find me on Instagram and TikTok.
Cool.
And Twitter.
And Apple Music is the Strombo Show, right?
Strombo Show. That's right. Just Strombo. So if you just look up, I think it's apple.co/Strombo, and you'll get to us.
I'll put a link in the show notes for people so they can just tap on it and start following you.
Sweet. That'll be cool. Thank you.
Cool. So how is that going? Like, I mean, you've been doing that. How long have you been doing that now? A couple of years, I guess, since the beginning of the pandemic?
Yeah, I feel like we were supposed to launch it in April of 20. I don't even know the date, but I feel like I joined them in January of 2020. And we're getting ready to launch it. But there were a lot of reasons why the delay was launched until August of that year. Mm-hmm. So August of that year, we went live and we've been going straight. Haven't missed a show since summer of 2020. Just kept on going every single day.
So do you still have the same gang behind the scenes kind of thing helping you out, or?
I do actually, funny enough, the stuff that I do, some specials that the Canadian Strombo Show team still work on for me and with me. And then we have a couple people that are hired specifically for the Apple show, but a couple of the OGs are with me as well. So it's, cool. You know me, loyalty, and it's a family affair. It's important. Yeah. And so it's really nice to be able to go to work every day and work with the people that you love and respect.
So I do want to ask you though your adjustment to the pandemic, because I noticed that you moved down to LA sometime in the middle of 2020. I guess part of it was this Apple gig, right? But I mean, so what's have you been back and forth to Toronto at all? Or
yeah, I still keep my residence in Toronto, and I'm there, you know, as often as it can be. I bounce between LA and New York and Toronto. The pandemic for me was fine. You know, I honestly I love being alone, so lockdown was not a problem for me at all. I loved it. I really loved it, actually. And I mean, I didn't love it in that it was bad for the world and all that stuff. But I'm saying on a personal level, it allowed me to take the time to work. I was still working as much as I ever did, but all the other hours of the day allowed me to focus on being healthy and being a little bit more, you know, more centered. So, we just kind of worked. I worked right through it. You know, I worked right through the pandemic, and it was. Yeah, it was cool that night. You know, being in LA, it was, you know, it was a crazy place to live on the best of days. And you know, there's a lot going on in LA that made it even more intense, certainly. And it kind of still is, actually. So It's been really exciting to be a part of a new show and a new kind of thing like Apple. And you know, I realized that just the way I consumed media was I wasn't really ever connecting to traditional places unless it was, you know, some public radio in the US, which I really like. But aside from that, everything to me was streaming. So the opportunity to go be with Apple was great because I got to go and work in a medium that I consume, that I use. So I really enjoyed that.
Speaking of like traveling and stuff like that too, though, you recently were in Syria too. Can you want to talk about that a bit?
Since August, dude. I mean, I went to Burning Man, then TIFF, then Syria, then Lebanon, then New York a whole bunch, Vancouver a whole bunch. Yeah, I've been on the road a bunch. I've been working with the World Food Program for a long time, and almost 12 years maybe, I think. And I love to just go be of use in any way they see fit. And so this year we asked to go to Syria. They let us in, much to everybody's surprise. We got a visa, and I was in. So it was really nice to go there. I'd never been to Syria before. I'd never been to Damascus, the old city, how beautiful and how old school that is. Like, ancient cities are incredible, you know? And going and being a part of that was really, really invigorating. I mean, they've gone through an enormous amount of pain and trauma, and the resilience of the people in Syria is really incredible.
Yeah, that's cool. A lot of people may know you from your work on CBC on the The Hour, but I mean, it was George Strommel Office for Tonight, or GST, as I like to call it from time to time.
That's right.
So I want to, so, you know, it's kind of odd for me to be interviewing you, and I've done it a couple of times already, but I'm curious, like, about some of your exploits on, in terms of interviewing. So you're still interviewing people for Apple TV or Apple Music, I should say.
That's right.
Some interesting people too, and I've caught a few of the shows. But so I was curious: have you ever had an interview that was unairable?
I certainly had a few interviews that should have been unairable. definitely, yes. I'm certain I have. I'm just trying to think. I interviewed a pop star once who was an advocate for some cause, and when I was a good cause, and when I was interviewing her, it became very apparent she didn't know anything about the issue.
Wow.
And I thought that I was well within my rights to air the interview, because if that organization was going to put this person in front of it, then too bad. But the cause was very important, and I don't think the whole cause should have suffered from the fact that this pop star had no clue. So we didn't air that interview, I think, just because we didn't think on a journalism level. It was like throwing a puppy over a balcony, you know. It was like, what's the point? It doesn't do any good. So I definitely have done that. I know when I worked at Hockey Night in Canada, I did a couple of interviews where something happened, or one in particular, I got really good stuff out of the person I was interviewing. And then the team panicked and called Rogers and made them pull the interview down. And so they never aired it because they were too afraid. So like that. So yeah, that has happened. But to me, that was a sign. That's when I kind of knew that I was wasting my time there, because it's like, they don't really want to do the work, this kind of work, right? They were too busy being in partnership with the league, which is fine, or with the teams. But I remember that's when I realized it's like, oh, you know, no, I still got it. I can still get stuff out of people. But I love interviewing people. I'm working on a new interview thing that's just going to come soon. Hopefully we'll announce it soon enough. And, but definitely I've had conversations that were so terrible. You're like, man, this shit is terrible. But I put them on anyway, because people should, if I couldn't make the interview work, there's no reason to protect myself. Let it rip. I'm a grown up. I can handle it.
Well, I guess speaking of grown ups and their exploits and idiocy, I mean, can I ask you a little bit about what do you think about what's happening with Twitter and Mastodon? I think you just joined Mastodon recently.
Join Mastodon. You know, I got to be honest with you, Tim, and I have never, maybe there's something wrong with my brain, but I don't know why everybody's freaking out, and I don't know why everybody's surprised. Like, it's always been this way.
Yeah.
And they're acting like Twitter wasn't an insane hellscape before Elon. And just because we live in an era right now where the cult of personality is not as, it's just very different than it used to be. But I watch people melt down on social media. Like, I'm deleting my accounts. Like, really? You didn't give a shit about, you know, F Facebook. Check me out on my Instagram reels, right? Like, it's so illogical. And so it's so inconsistent. And so I never grew up, like, when social media started, you could tell right away, this is going to be fun for a minute and then it's going to get ugly, because that's what happens with everything. And so I was not surprised by when he's like, oh, Elon's going to bring so-and-so back. Have you seen the maniacs that are on Twitter now? Like, it doesn't, he's a free speech absolutist, which is, I'm not, by the way. And because I don't think that, I do believe in the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression, but I believe that Twitter is a broadcasting platform and thus should be held to the same account, have the same accountability as every broadcaster. To me, everybody who has a social media platform is a broadcaster, and they can sell promotions and paid advertising with their stuff, and they can do that shit. So you have to be held accountable the way every broadcaster is. When I go on TV, when I had a TV show, if I went on and said something that was in violation of the rules, I would be screwed for it, and so would the network. I think all social media should be treated the same way. It's not free speech. It's they're publicly traded or private companies that are about the pursuit of wealth and advertising, and they collect data on all of us. That's not the public square. Also, in the public square, if you say something, you might get as Joe Bowen, the great broadcaster, would say, you might get a shot right on the bugle. You know, like Twitter doesn't. So Twitter's not a free speech platform. No social media is a free speech platform. It's a commercial broadcasting venture masquerading as a free speech platform, in my mind. And so when people freaked out about the Twitter exploits, I'm like, yeah, of course it's weird, but whatever. It's been weird for a long time, and it's been toxic. And I've been stalked on social media for years and years. Like, you know, Elon didn't make it any worse for me. You know, he didn't make it any better for me. He just made him. What I respect, listen, I am no fan of this fucking regime, but what I respect about it, at least his meltdown is happening publicly. You know, but like before Elon, this same shit was going on. We just didn't know. Now right. It's just a little more, the insanity is just a little bit more transparent. But yeah, I've never felt like any of this stuff was on our side in the first place. We all knew they were collecting our data. What did we think? If I ever write a book, Tim, it's going to be called, What Did You Think Was Going to Happen? What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so yeah, and so I signed up with Mastodon. I haven't quite figured out Mastodon. I'm on Discord. I haven't quite figured out Discord.
Yeah.
TikTok, I figured out, but I think that thing is pretty complicated, you know, with the behind the scenes of ownership and all that. I don't know. I still like Instagram the best. I think Reels are boring, but I do them. I prefer just with Instagram with photos. I like that. But I remember MySpace. MySpace was, here's the universal truth, dude. We always start with the best version of something. And like, you know, you think about how I heard a comic say this, we invented the phone where you could actually talk to somebody. And now we send emojis, which are essentially hieroglyphics. We've regressed. We started with the best version of communication, which was, hi, how are you? You can hear my voice. Hi, how are you? We started with the best version. And I feel like, in social media, Friendster was interesting, but MySpace was incredible. MySpace, especially as a fan of music, MySpace was incredible. And everything since then has been kind of like, meh. Because MySpace was actually expressive. You could customize your page and make it look cool. Facebook looks the same. Instagram looks the same. TikTok looks the same. Discord's interesting because of the whole channels idea. I like that. But it's just so much shit out there.
Yeah, well... I mean, like before Discord, there was Slack, and I did actually set up a Strombo Slack for you. Yeah. You just never got your head wrapped around it. But
I never did. So I'm using Slack now for work. And then but even that, I like Slack as a live for the live experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, get everybody on Slack. I think Discord is the same, similar, right?
Yeah. It's a bit stranger in that it's sort of like you have an instance and you share with other people. I'm not a big fan of Discord, to be honest with you. I use it because I have to, because yeah. Some of the groups that were on Slack have moved over to Discord, but I prefer Slack, and people can yell at me about that later.
Yeah, Slack is cool because you've got a bunch of people on it, and then it's basically a live chat.
We use it at our new work, and it's sort of the main place where we all communicate, because, you know, since everybody's been working from home for the last 2 years, it's like it's the water cooler. It's the going to somebody's desk kind of deal, right?
That's right. You know? Yeah, there's a lot of value in that. And it's always open. It's like the new AIM, you know, it's like the new Instant Messenger, which I really like. I used to love Instant Messenger that popped up. But I also realized as I got older and I've done this longer is I actually don't want to be that reachable. Mm-hmm. So now there are just so many ways to get a hold of somebody. I don't like it because I don't want people to get a hold of me for the most part, right?
Yeah.
I'll get a bunch of texts in a day and I won't read them for a couple of days just because, you know, your schedule's busy. We're crazy busy, but I'll get to them eventually. But I don't like having, like, now on LinkedIn, I have all these people sending me messages. I don't mind people sending me messages. What I don't like is somebody who doesn't know what I do, who just uses LinkedIn as an opportunity to talk about their investment firm. And I don't care. Like, hey, I want to meet with you so we could talk about how we can find some synergies. I'm like, dude, have you read my profile? We don't work in the same world at all. There are no synergies. So the LinkedIn is like insane for that.
So, you know, and here's a little trick for you on LinkedIn. So at the beginning of my LinkedIn profile, I put a little iPhone emoji, right? In the beginning of my name. If somebody sends me a form email, like, cause there's a lot of trollers out there. That's the reality of it, right? Somebody sends me an email with the emoji still in there. I know they just picked me up with an algorithm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Hi, Tim and iPhone. Yep.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
That's good.
Or they don't even look at your resume. Everybody listening to this podcast gets trolled by people on Facebook, people on Twitter, people on LinkedIn, and email. Email's the worst. Like, I sent you an email 3 days ago, George. You haven't replied to it. Will be the message, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, and my whole thing
is, I don't owe you an answer.
Yeah, I don't read emails. Like, I mean, I'll read emails once, you know, every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of feel like for what I do for a living, a lot of this is about creative expression and it's about finding ways to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this career has only been about connecting us through story, whether it be politically, socially, musically, film-wise, whatever it is. It's always been about connecting us through story. And I don't want to be distracted by the myriad ways people can reach me all the time. I don't mind people reaching me for good shit about that.
Yeah,
but it's just like the spam life of, but not even like spam, but spam from real people who want to just fucking make connections. I'm not that guy, you know. I'm like, I'm sitting here that gets in the way of trying to tell stories and trying to write and trying to do. I'm shooting a film in a week, or no, sorry, not a week, 2 weeks after Christmas, and there's a lot of like thinking that has to go into all of that, and I can't just get back to random email about random investment opportunity. I don't even know these people, it's just. And again, I love meeting people, but just this idea that because you can reach somebody means you're entitled to a response right away is insane. I'll get back when I can, but I can't do it. Nobody can get back to everybody all the time.
Yeah, I paid a lot of money to a therapist who told me I don't have to be available all the time. So I don't call her anymore.
Yeah, well done. But that's important, right? It's important to know what your line is and what boundaries are. And I think you got to have them. I didn't have any in the early days. I was always accessible. And now I'm still hyper accessible. People can get to me, but I'm going to get back on a little bit more on my terms.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, what's the point?
Yeah. You know, I've noticed that actually with about you.
But I write you back is just when I see the message. Yeah. Because, you know, what happens? You get a text and all of a sudden it goes all the way down your fucking inbox and then by the time, so a few times a year, I try to respond to every single message in my box and then delete it. So then I have like no messages in my inbox.
Yeah. That's my same thing. Yeah.
I need There's to get, so I got too many. I got to get back to that over the holidays, clear the inbox. Cause then I'll be better to respond. Cause I just lose it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. I just be patient. That's all. So I got a couple of things I want to ask you about. I don't know if you've the latest thing that just came out last week is a thing called ChatGPT. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's an AI that you can use. Suppose you want to write an introduction to your next show. You can go in there and say, write me an introduction about this person who does this and this and this. And it comes back with this beautiful prose.
I hate that. I hate that.
You hate the AI or the concept of the AI?
I hate that exists.
Yeah.
For me, I would never. I get why it's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think shortcuts. I think that we, in our rampant, reckless pursuit for efficiencies, we can lose really important things. And one of those things are be authentic.
Yeah. Well, the scary thing about this is that, you know, you can go in and ask to publish some write some facts about something or other, some subject, not pick anything, right? You know, beyond meat or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And it'll write you a piece. You put that up on a social media network, either Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And next thing you know, that becomes a fact,
right?
You know, and now we've got a fact written by AI, which are fed or are trained by biases that we all have, right? And so the next thing we're going to find is fake news, fake biases.
Yeah. Yeah, like, has anybody not paid attention to the movies? What happens? Has anybody not paid attention? Like, this idea that these tech creators, these technocrats are on our side, like, who thinks that?
They're not.
They're not. They never have been. And yeah, so listen, I love technology. As you know, I'm an early adopter in much of it. I love, but to me, if you are inauthentic, then you are inauthentic. And authenticity is something I value. So I understand how, you know, somebody gets wants somebody write an intro speech for them, but like they're going to do best man speeches now written by AI. And then you're going to go up there and tell us some bullshit that doesn't come from the heart. But the thing that I value the most is things that come from the heart. Authentic things that come from the heart. So I hate the idea that I would do that. That I mean, I know why that AI exists and blah, blah, blah. I get it. Fucking everybody will just come at me in my DMs now about it, but I don't care. It's like, to me, it's not truthful. It's not authentic. That's not interesting. Like that's annoying to me that would even happen.
So on the other side of the AI thing, have you seen these things where people are uploading an image of themselves and then having the AI return four nicely drawn pieces? Let me give you a bit of background on that. Because I, as an artist, as a trained artist with a, you know, Bachelor of Fine Arts degree, I worked a lot to get that degree.
Yeah.
I find it's appalling because the source material that they're using, these ARs are using to produce these images, are the works of other human beings who are not being compensated or recognized for having created that style.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that, right. So what did you think was going to happen? Right. That's my answer to people who are like, and by the way, they're taking all your pictures and they're using this to train their data. So you're not getting compensated for your photography.
Yeah.
Like, to me, life's so simple, dude. It's about choices and what you're okay with. And so the people who are willing to, they're willing to use the work of other artists and not compensate them or not even acknowledge them. Then when that happens to them, do they have the right to be upset? You know, when that photo gets taken and used in an ad that you didn't clear for, do you have the right to be upset? You've done it for other people. So yeah, like I don't, I haven't done that photo thing yet. I thought about doing it. Then I didn't, not for any political reason. I just couldn't be bothered. It looks cool. They look cool. They look cool. But I just love artistic expression. And I don't think computers or programs are artistic expression. I think it's code. I think it is expression. And I think I think it's like an artistic piece, but it's not expression. It's just code. You got to feel things. That's what I value. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to see it my way. I don't care how people see it. More power to you if you see it differently. But for me, I look at it and go like, ooh, I want to see the artist make it. Because it comes, it's like when food is prepared with love, that thing, it just tastes better, which is not empirically true, but it feels good, you know? And it's the same thing here. Like just a computer makes some animation. There's AI models now. There are AI models that have agents and AI
and performers too. Performers, right?
Yeah, and they have agents.
Wow,
it's pretty intense. Yeah,
yeah, crazy. Well, you've seen
now, that's not to say you can't take AI and generate these kind of images and do really cool artistic things with them. But I think you just have to be careful that you just don't take, like you said, take other people's work and then post it. And it's nothing. There are ways to do it where it's really interesting. But it's just all like an exercise in mimicry. Like we all do the same thing everybody does on social media. It's mimic, mimic, mimic. And I'm always, which is fine, but I'm always searching out for the people who are the creators of these ideas rather than the mimics.
Yeah, it's got to be genuine expression for sure. But you were at Coachella. Did you see the Tupac thing where they had the hologram of Tupac on stage?
Yeah, I was there for that.
And how did that really come across in live?
You know what? It was interesting because it was still pretty early in the tech. It was a long time ago, but the young people who were there, like the people under 30, were freaking out, like, woo, cheering, and it was cool. And you could see some of us OGs were just not quite sure what to make of it because it was weird to see Tupac move again. I hadn't seen Tupac walk in a long time. And there was Tupac walking across the stage. I really liked it. I thought it was cool. Now, to me, that's interesting, the hologram idea, because there was a live band behind it, and I knew what I was getting. So I showed up getting a hologram to perform these songs in a way that I hadn't seen before. And Pac is dead, so obviously. So it was just really, and for him to be on stage with Dre and Snoop, that was really neat. That was really, really neat. The Roy Orbison hologram looks incredible. I'm cool with holograms. I think it was great.
I mean, Zappa's family, I mean, that's another interesting discussion, but I mean, the Ahmed, who has the rights to the family trust or whatever they call it these days, he put together, or his team put together a thing where Zappa's a hologram and goes out and plays, right? And
awesome.
And then they went after Dweezil, like, to not play under the name Zappa Plays Zappa, which I found really kind of nasty, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You that's know?
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's his name. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, how can you not use your name? Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a section of the show. I was sort of bored. This from Tammy's show. I don't know if you remember the time you were on with us. And we have these questions we like to ask people. And and so I started off with the Marcel Proust questionnaire, you know, which I like. CBC does that. But I've stolen from Stephen Colbert. So I've mixed in some of Stephen Colbert's questions. I don't know if you've seen.
Let's do it. I haven't seen that, but let's do it.
All right. Well, the first thing is, what is your motto?
Fuck around and find out. No. My motto is, I don't really have a motto, but if I think about my reason for being is live with, like, be kind, I think is what matters maybe the most to me, than anything. Like, love and gratitude is really important, but so is kindness. Kindness and compassion, I think, are really, really important. And I kind of try to remind myself of that every day. It's about kindness. This is really about kindness and compassion.
Yeah. Cool. All right. This is a Colbert question. What's the best sandwich?
Well, it's different now that I'm a vegan, because when I wasn't a vegan, I mean, sandwiches were so much better. But
you can tell us what your previous sandwich was and now what your new sandwich would be.
Oh, a BLT. A BLT, man, or a club. But now I make a pretty mean vegan bacon tomato sandwich, and it's pretty good. I make a pretty mean vegan BLT.
Is it vegan bacon kind of thing? Or
yeah, vegan bacon. It's really good. Let me ask you a question. Do you consider a sub a sandwich, and do you consider a burrito a sandwich?
Well, that's an interesting question.
I don't, because a burrito closes. A sandwich has to be open, I think, on the sides.
Oh, there's rules.
I think so, for me. Otherwise, it's a burrito. But I was curious if you counted a sub as a sandwich, because honestly, nothing is better than the cold cut
assorted sub from Mr. Sub.
Assorted, yeah, because I used to work at Mr. Submarine and I made the assorted.
Wow. Yeah,
the assorted was the best sub in the world, man.
I got to tell you that special sauce that they used to—I don't know what it was—something about the sauce and the mozzarella cheese and the three meats.
So
and
good.
You know, it's funny because I've missed that. That's like a 70s 80s memory for me, because. You know, now that Mr. Sub has been beaten up by Subway, they've changed somehow. Yeah. I don't know if an assorted tastes the same anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't had it in a long time, but the assorted at Mr. Submarine was my favorite sandwich.
Yeah, that was my go-to for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's the, I think they call it the Canadian Club. It's like...
That's what they call it?
Oh. Well, now, no, it's not. It's a different one. It's like turkey and bacon and cheese and tomato. Like, so it's like a BLT, but...
Wow.
But with turkey instead of...
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. And just the right amount of mozzarella, not too much, right?
Also, you know, like a good tuna sandwich is pretty great too. A good tuna sandwich was pretty epic when I was growing up. I love those.
Yeah. Did you just
grilled cheese? You know what? Maybe grilled cheese is my favorite sandwich. If I think about it now, mm-hmm. like my first choice would be the old school assorted, but also a grilled cheese. Like grilled cheese is epic.
Did you ever put bread and butter pickles inside there?
I would, but I'd also put back bacon in there.
Oh,
so
wow.
Your grilled cheese with back bacon was so tasty.
Wow. Wow. I've never tried that one. Ketchup maybe and maybe.
I mean, I worked at Mr. Submarine and I worked at Subway. So I was a sandwich artist.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Just all before the broadcast years, eh?
Oh, yeah. I was 14 when I worked at Mr. Submarine and by the airport.
Cool.
The guy hired me over the phone. And he looked at me when he first came to meet me, and I was a little boy. He's like, "You are so small." And you couldn't believe he hired such a kid to work there.
Yeah, nice, cool. This is up in where did you live?
Malton, right by the airport on Airport Road.
Right, Airport Road. I had the A in my head. I couldn't put the word around it. They may have asked you this question before, and I don't remember your answer, but who are your heroes in real life?
You know, my mom, obviously, is a big hero, but... In my neighborhood, so there's a guy called Lon who lives across the street from us. He's my mother's husband now, before they were together. Lon was that guy in the neighborhood that he had a trampoline in the backyard. The neighborhood kids would go play and everything was cool. Everything was safe. As safe as you could be on a trampoline. But he was just like this great fucking man, like a great guy. And he was good to people, and he took care of the neighborhood, and he helped people in need. He was just a good guy. He still is. So I kind of think, when I think back now, that the real heroes are the ones who just did good things because that's what you're supposed to do. My uncle Paul was like that. You know, right. Lon was like that. They're both still alive, thankfully. They're like that. And of course, and those guys were really my heroes. You know, watching these people lead by example, which is that your job is to be for your community, for your neighborhood. I'm really grateful for those guys.
Cool. All right. What's the one thing you own that you should throw out?
God, dude, I have so many clothes. I should throw out half my clothes. I really should. What else should I throw out? I should throw out the bag of chips that I keep in the house because I know they're bad for me, but I'll eat them. But I have too much stuff. I have too much stuff. I should throw out my Harley because it's going to kill me because it's not a very safe motorcycle. So I've got a very unsafe motorcycle and I ride it sometimes. I'm like, this is a big mistake.
Why is it too big or just
no? It's small, but it's just not safe. It's just really dangerous. You know, the brakes don't really work. The tires are shitty. It's just one of those kind of bikes. I still ride it because it sounds good and it feels cool. But I'm like, man, this is not a good idea. And every time I get on it, I think this is not a good idea.
Where would you most like to live?
In Topanga. In Topanga, yeah, it's a canyon in California. Oh. Yeah, I would love to live there. I have lived there in the past. I've never felt better, slept better, felt healthier than when I lived in Topanga. It's the woods. There's mountain lions and coyotes and owls, and you're only like 35 minutes from the city, but you're in, and it's a bit outlaw. It's a bit outlaw. And like Woody Guthrie stayed there when he was being harassed by the system, and Neil Young used to live there. It's just like it's a bit outlaw, and I kind of like it. Or Taos, New Mexico, for the exact same reasons.
Cool. All right. Apples or oranges?
Honestly, apples. You know, honestly, apples because they're easier. You don't have to peel them. Mm. I love a good orange for sure, but then you got to contend with other seeds. What am I doing here? Apples are so chill. Plus with apples, you can go for your, I like a really firm, crisp apple. I don't like those soft apples that taste like gravel. So I'm looking for a Granny Smith or something that's super firm and crisp. And my brain, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's all the concussions. I never remember which apples are the firmest, right? So I don't know which ones. Every time I go to the store, I'm like, I don't even know which
Delicious or Granny Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I think Delicious are a bit soft, right? But the Granny Smiths are so firm. I like that. And tart. So apples for me.
Cool.
Plus apple pie, not orange pie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Orange pies are such a thing. Have you ever asked anybody for their autograph?
Not as an adult. I don't think as a kid, I have had people like sign things that I would give away.
Hmm.
So yeah, bands would come in and sign their playlists or something like that, but not really, not in the traditional, hey, would you mind giving me an autograph? No pictures. I like pictures better, but I think when I was a kid, I met Rick Vive. When he was playing baseball, he was playing softball in the off season, if you can believe it, in my mom's old neighborhood. And Rick signed a bunch of autographs for the kids. Even though I'm not a Leafs fan, it just seemed like all the kids to do it. I thought, what the hell? Maybe I'll get that too.
Sure. Cool.
Yeah.
I think I told you the story. Yeah, many times. But I met Cure Delay and the other guy from 2001, Gary Lockhart, and I met Matt Smith at Fan Expo. I mean, I just happened to go in the north entrance. So I was meeting my son and his kid there, and Jonathan, who you met, and I went in, and then just like there was nobody at the table. I'm like, this is crazy. So I ran over to one of the booths, bought a photo, and got Matt Smith to sign it. So he wouldn't shake my hand; he gave me a fist bump. Yeah, Doctor Who. Yeah, and I think I told you the story about my sister who we lived in Montreal when we were kids, and she was with a friend of her. She was about 6 or 7. And her friend said, that's where John Beliveau lives. And she says, oh, really? So she said, let's go knock on this door. And I mean, this is my sister talking, right? And they knocked on this door. He invited them in, gave them milk and cookies, and then gave them each a postcard, like a picture of him, you know, from the Strength Sound Center photograph, signed it, gave it to them. And my mom put it in a book and lost it.
Oh,
I know.
You know, well, Beliveau got it. Beliveau was the last of his kind in a way. He was another level of classy, another level of community oriented in that city when it really mattered. Like he was clearly one of a kind. I got to have breakfast with him once and it was really lovely. He was so kind.
Nice. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So what's the scariest animal?
scariest animal. Like if I saw it, I would think, oh shit. Well, mountain lions, because they eat humans. So that's, if you see a mountain lion, you're in trouble. I mean, you can see him be fine. I've seen him, but whenever I cross a path with a mountain lion, I think there's no guarantee I'm going to survive this. And so I think mountain lions are pretty intense. That's what I have to deal with here. You know, but really the scariest animal is a human being. So I feel like human beings are the most dangerous animal on the planet. And there are many a night where I've looked around and go, as much as I think mountain lions are scary, no mountain lions ever done shit to me, but lots of humans have. So I think humans are.
So what number am I thinking of?
I would imagine you're thinking number 7.
You were close.
Was that close? 8?
You got one of the numbers.
Yeah. Was it 17?
No, it's 27 actually. But
27. Nice.
Yes. Yeah, so sometimes when I think of that question, I do think of 7. So you're actually pretty close to knowing me on that one.
But you got 27. What number am I thinking?
34.
No, but close. I was thinking 4.
Ugh.
So you got one. Yeah.
I do have Bobby Orr's autograph in my bathroom there, but yeah. I didn't meet him. I met somebody who met him. So
nice.
Cool. Yeah. He was my Belova when I was a kid.
Wow.
Flat or sparkling?
Sparkling.
Okay, good
for
answer.
Sure. Yeah.
That's correct.
For sure. I'm a carbonated beverage king. I'm all about it.
Where would you most like? Oh, I asked you where you want to live. Never mind that. The bad question. Here, I'll go through the rest of the Colbert ones. They're pretty funny. Oh, wait, here's one. This is more about Spotcast than more than just code, but Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, or Babylon 5?
I mean, I'm not really into any... I would say Star Trek.
Star Trek?
Yeah, I would say Star Trek. Partly because I think Star Trek, the original series, was so interesting and created so much of what we have today that... And also because Next Generation, I think, was a world-class TV series. Like, I don't think anything in any of those other ones you mentioned, maybe Doctor Who has, but Star Trek's Next Generation was, like, really incredible television, I thought. So I'll say Star Trek.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right within your demographic, too. So yeah. This is obviously my audience is iOS developers writing apps for phones. So I got to ask you, what's the most used app on your phone?
Most used app on my phone is probably Instagram or Notes. I use Notes a lot. I keep all my ideas and things in my Notes. I'm looking at my apps right now. I just updated the phone, so I have all my apps. Usually I keep everything on only 2 pages. I only have 2 pages, and then the rest kind of get hidden. So right now they're sort of everywhere. But I think I use Notes more than any app. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see why you don't like now that Apple's got that third page, like your third page there would be like the app library where everything just sort of easy to, I mean, it's so hard. I mean, I used to have like 10 pages of apps. It was impossible to find things.
Impossible, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Cool. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
The rest of my life in 5 words.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, no, that's 6 words. I want to live peacefully.
Cool.
I want to live peacefully. Yeah, that's 5 words. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I want. I want some of that.
Cool. What words or phrases do you overuse the most?
Bro and dude. I use those a lot.
Bro?
Bro and dude. I use that a lot. I swear a lot. I swear way too much.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what phrase I overuse, but I think it's important to say a lot out loud is trust the process.
Trust the process.
I say that a lot. Trust the process. Just if I'm looking at something, trying to figure it out, I'm just trust the process. That's what I think of.
Cool. Well, I think we're kind of at the end here. So,
thanks.
If people want to get in touch with you, where would they find you?
Yeah, find me on, you know, mostly on Instagram and on Twitter and TikTok at Strombo, Strombo. And you can always check out our show page on Apple Music, Strombo. And we have tons of specials there, really niche programming, big programming, like wide ranging and also very specific. So, you know, if you like music and good conversation, you can find that stuff or check me out on YouTube. I think our YouTube channel is The Strombo Show.
Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah. It's easy to find. House of Strombo. That's what it is.
House of Strombo. Yeah.
And you mentioned you're working on a new show, which you obviously can't tell us about, but and movies, you're working on movies still?
Working on movies. Yeah, I got one. I produced a couple of indie features, but as a director, I directed one short that's in post right now. I'm being edited. And I have a second one. I was just before I joined you today, I was meeting with the co-producers and going over the script, and we're going to start shooting that in January.
What's the general genre, whatever?
I suspect it would be thriller horror, kind of. You know, first one is more thriller crime. The second one is a little bit more, you know, a little bit more supernatural. And then the third one is very awful, and it's just is very human. It's just a high drama, but just really nasty.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here. So my name is Timitra, Timitra on the Twitter machine. Oh, and I wanted to mention you can get a hold of George Strombo on Mastodon now too, right?
That's right. I have to look that up. Because on Mastodon, I have to figure out how to use it, but I downloaded Mastodon. So I'm in Mastodon.
Yeah.
It's Strombo at toot.whales. Does that sound right?
Yes. I don't know how you got whales, but it's a Welsh server.
So is it Strombo at toot? Is that what it is?
No, Strombo at toot.whales, yeah.
Yeah, so how do I change that? Do I change it? Can I just get Strombo?
You know what? I saw somebody else had taken Strombo, but you can, like, the thing is, the way it works is you have an identity. People can find you by doing at Strombo.
Yeah.
Right, but the way to tell people what it is, you'd say toot.whales and then / at Strombo.
All right.
It's confusing, but yeah, I'm sure they'll figure it out later and make it easier for people.
I hope so. I'd like to get the Strombo thing for that, but I haven't quite figured out how to use it. You just put posts and you have to create like posts and replies and media and all that shit. I don't know.
It's pretty similar to Twitter, but it's a different kind of, it's not one company down in California that runs it, right?
No, I just noticed you posted 1 hour ago, mysterious test flight messages.
Yeah.
It sounds like it could be something about UFOs.
No, yeah. It has to do with the fact that those of us who are in the industry, we're always trying to test our apps, and Apple runs a service called Test Flight. It's not working today. And people are trying to scratch their heads why, and we found that Apple's having a service outage, which is what that post's about.
Ah, very cool. PSAs,
man. I'm all about the PSAs.
You're smart. You're there for your community. I love it.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy. Really nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too. And we'll have to catch up when you're back in TO.
I look forward to it. Sure. Keep your family my love, please.
Cool. Yeah. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that stuff.
You too, buddy. I'll talk soon.
Ciao.
Goodbye. Okay,
the picks for the show this week are going to be DataTile, which is a product by a friend of the show, former co-host and guest on the show, Marin Todorov. And this is a tool he's written that will go through your console logs in Xcode when you're running a simulator, and it will make nice charts and graphs and flows for your Xcode. And that is beta right now, so you can sign up for the test flight and get a copy. And I did that myself. I just want to check. Yeah, because I sort of asked him about it. I said, like, you know, what does it do? And he says, long story short, it's a log renderer. It says if you're logging values, especially values that change over time, like OS_log, progress, %2F, my progress. He said they can be really messy to track this in the console, so in real time. So he's basically, that's what this tool will do, is will read through your consoles and pull out stuff like this. So data tile watches your simulator and basically creates tiles in your screen to make them, you know, look kind of cool. You know, things like view controller visible equals true. Those kind of things can be, you know, if you're logging those kind of events, then you can do that, right? And there's a sample app, which I haven't downloaded yet, but he's got a sample Swift UI app that you can try to try it out and see how that works. I mean, you know, so if you've got logs silenced in your app, it's not going to work, but, you know, like definitely you can give this a shot. So that's DataTile. You can find it from underplot.com, which is on Marin's site, and you can read his blog there. You can also try Combine, which is his Combine Slack channel and website, where you can find information about this. And another tool that I think is kind of cool, I just saw one of the people on the iOS folks called Coduo. And it lets you share and collaborate in Xcode. So it's available now for macOS. So you can stream your xCloud window to any browser, which is kind of cool. You could do it like maybe for demos or for pair programming. You can actually both of you share your Xcode experience between yourself and some another developer, another team. It looks kind of cool. You can actually, you know, mark up and highlight things and yeah, give it a try. It basically shares to it like a browser, and then you have tools for annotating and that kind of stuff. So check that out, CoDuo, and I'll have a link in the show notes for that. And yeah, that's it. So yeah, as usual, my name is Tim Mitra, T-I-M-M-I-T-R-A. On the Twitter machine is where you'll find me, and on Mastodon, mastodon.social/@Tim Mitra. And yeah, until next time, we'll talk to you later. Thanks. Bye. Oh, and if you're listening on YouTube, and if you're watching on YouTube, I should say, please like and subscribe. I need more people to follow my show. You don't need to be really followed or whatever. You'll get notifications and stuff, but you can silence those. So just, yeah, I just would appreciate it if you can, you know, spare me the time, just go over there and tap that like and subscribe, and I'll try not to bug you too much. So yeah, thanks.
This has been another episode of the More Than Just Code podcast. If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit the More Than Just Code website at mtjc.fireside.fm. There you can find a summary and show notes of each episode. We list links to the apps, code, and news that we mentioned on the show. If you like the podcast, tell your friends, leave a comment on the website, or write a review on iTunes. And please recommend us in your favorite podcatcher. All of these things help others find out about the show. We really appreciate your help with spreading the word. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, so use the hashtag AskMTJC, and we may mention you on the show. Friends of the show can also join us on the podcast Slack channel. Once again, the podcast Twitter account is @MTJC_podcast. Please consider supporting the show by pledging any amount on patreon.com/MTJC. Every dollar pledged helps a lot. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.